You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. And we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics planned out for you, but that doesn't mean we won't switch paths or change the topic, because we will just continue on what our minds desire here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us for this week. We got a lot of interesting stories to cover, but before we delve into all of those topics at hand, we'd like to do a little personal recap, what we've been up to in the past week. So, Mike, how you doing? What's going on in Mikey land?
I'm pretty good. I finished, I don't remember if I talked about this or not, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Okay.
I finished watching Haunting of Hill House.
Okay. You finished it. I don't think you mentioned you finished
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I don't think I mentioned that I finished it. Is it bad that all the days and weeks are just running together all of a sudden?
Well,
I just feel like I can't
get, you know, what it is? We're getting to that mad rush at the end of the year.
Oh my gosh.
This is the beginning of the end for 2018.
I know you were doing your opening spiel there and I'm going, oh my God. What did I do this week? I couldn't remember anything. But I did remember that I finished Haunting of Hill House. And I'll say this, as a mark of the quality of the show. I'm not a huge fan of horror shows and movies. But I was able to stick through 10 episodes, 10 hours of this show as someone who's not a fan of the genre, because my imagination just runs wild and rampant, and it just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, but you're not a big horror fan.
No, not at all. But I toughed through 10 episodes because it was so compelling. And it was, there were lots of jump scares, absolutely. But it's the type of horror that lingers with you. So, you know, it's disturbing, unsettling stuff that you could, you know, it's tough to put in words. It's stuff that sticks with you, that makes you feel that chill down your spine and like, oh man, it's something you could like catch out of the corner of your eye that would freak you out, you know? And more than that, I think I mentioned this before, but it was also the family drama that really drew me in. And the end of the show was actually quite surprising for me. It had a really, personally, I thought a potent and powerful ending, so much so that it made me want to go pick up the book. So I'm going to try and pick up the book and give that a read, because I feel like that's probably even better. But if you are still in, I know it's, you know, 2 weeks too late for this, but if you're still in the Halloween mindset.
Oh, I think some people are.
Go check out Haunting of Hill House. It's really good. And that's coming from someone who doesn't like the genre. I thought it was really good.
Not all of us want to hear Christmas music already in November.
I think I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday, but I think it's just too early.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
So fight against it with The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
On Netflix.
I agree.
I think that is a worthy cause.
Okay.
That everyone should champion.
Awesome.
Yeah. But that's what I've been doing, that, and I played a little bit of Red Dead 2. I'm probably never going to finish that game.
No.
It's just going to go
so massive.
On and on forever and ever and never end. And that's basically it. That's what I've been up to.
Okay.
Or at least what I can remember. Rich, hopefully your memory is a little bit better than mine. What have you been up to recently?
Definitely running around with the holidays coming up and everything like that. The big thing that I got a chance to do was I got to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh,
the Queen.
Nice.
The Freddie Mercury biopic.
Yeah.
Now,
how was that? Because reviewers were not too keen on it.
The key thing I think everyone needs to remember is that it's a biopic.
Right.
So they take a lot of liberties with the Queen storyline.
Okay.
I think overall it works well as a movie. And I think for the casual moviegoer, it's perfect.
Okay.
But I think I get the hate from, like, any sort of, like, purist.
Right.
You know, because there are definitely some moments that don't match up. I'm trying not to, I don't want to give away any crazy details about the movie. But the way the movie is framed,
okay,
is it references back to their performance at Live Aid in 85.
Okay.
Which is, you know, their most legendary performance. And the film begins and ends with Live Aid, and the story's told in the middle.
Okay.
And I get it. I get the reason why they did it. And from a filmmaking aspect, it fits very well. And I can see why they would rather try and alter the details of history to fit that narrative than they would try and alter the details of trying to fit the Live Aid performance into the story. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. They sort of like reverse engineered it.
Yeah.
They had this endpoint, and then they modeled the rest of it to get to that point.
Right. So I get why they did that. And I think for a casual moviegoer, I think that it's perfect and it's what you want.
Well, they dramatized it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you have to.
Right. It's a biopic. They're going to take liberties with some of the historical events. But overall, I liked it. Rami Malek, he's the actor. Oh my, he did a fantastic job as Freddie Mercury.
Nice.
He got everything. He got pretty much everything down. The buck teeth, the interesting way he talks, the mannerisms, the stage presence. He pretty much nailed them.
Well, that's good to hear, because that's crucial to the movie being watchable.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to have the right lead actor. And every trailer that I've seen, I'm always like, wow, it seems like he does a great job. But I've been eager to see it. I was a little disappointed the critics were kind of sour on it.
Yeah.
But your review makes me feel a little bit better about
it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I also like the fact that they also gave props to the other bandmates, especially Brian May.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone kind of forgets about, like, the actual compositions of the songs.
Yeah, but I mean, his guitar playing was...
Yeah, Brian May is easily one of the top five guitarists in rock history.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like he always kind of gets eclipsed by Freddie Mercury. When you think of Queen, you think of Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for Brian May, you wouldn't have Queen. You would not have Queen. Simple.
It takes the whole band, you know?
Yeah.
It's a collaborative art form.
Yes.
So, yeah.
There's also a funny cameo by Mike Myers, which is hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, considering that...
The whole Wayne's World, yeah.
Right. I mean, that helped him launch Wayne's World, was the singing of Bohemian Rhapsody in the car in that scene.
Nice.
So it's interesting that they casted him in a cameo part in this movie.
That's a nice little nod there.
Yeah. So I'd say go for it. You know, if you have any interest in rock history, I'd say go see it, enjoy it. Just remember, it's not 100% factor, 100% historically correct.
Yeah.
It absolutely is not. There's definitely some things that they had some liberties with.
I mean, really, people shouldn't be going to movies to expect historical.
It's not
accuracy.
A documentary.
Right.
You know, I think that's what's throwing some of the critics off.
Yeah. It's a dramatized biopic. You know, it's meant to be a story, and you can't really tell a story out of just a person's life. If it's like, oh, they were born in this year and they did this and they did that. That's a book.
Yeah.
You know, if you want historical,
that's a Wikipedia article.
Right. If you want historical accuracy, go to Wikipedia, read a book. If you want drama and action, see the movie.
Yeah. So I would.
Well, I want drama and action, so I'm going to go see the movie.
Yeah. I would say if you're at all a rock fan.
Was the music good?
Well, yeah, they didn't do any like covers or anything. The movie didn't cover the songs, if that's what you're asking.
It was mostly focused on the people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like there's not going to be like a, at least as far as I know, there's not going to be like a re-recording of the songs in this movie.
No, but I mean, was it like, did they show the creation of the songs? And
yeah,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of it out of order, which is probably peeving a lot of people off, but it's still interesting and still worth it as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That's good to hear.
Yes. Oh, and then the other thing was that the trailer to this movie is apparently going to be an Elton John biopic. And I was like, what? Is this going to be like the next wave of movies?
Oh, wait. They're doing an Elton John
biopic? Yeah, they're doing an Elton John biopic. Huh.
He's still alive,
called Rocket
though.
Man.
He's still alive,
yeah.
Though. I always think it's weird to do a biopic about somebody that's alive.
Right.
I don't know.
Because you got to imitate somebody that's still alive.
I don't know. Are we off base in that?
And then you're running the risk of either doing something that's too out of the ballpark or something that makes fun of the guy.
Well,
or
the greatest risk is that you come out with the movie and the subject person's like, yeah, that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
Or I don't approve of this.
Right.
Or, you know, you don't want that.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Maybe we're totally off base. Let us know.
Yeah. So that also was a little odd. I was like, is this going to be like the next fad in movies? Is we're going to go research dead rock stars and they're going to make movies? Is there going to be
living ones now?
Is there going to be a Kurt Cobain biopic? It would not surprise me if in the next year we're going to see a Kurt Cobain biopic or something.
I'm surprised it's not a thing. Are you sure it's not a thing?
At least not till I know.
It sounds like it should be a thing. And the title is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's packaged. It's prepackaged.
Yeah. So that probably is coming down the pipe in a couple
probably.
Of years or something.
2021 release, calling it now.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. Bohemian Rhapsody is making some money at the box office, so
yeah.
Why not? So, yeah, but overall, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was great. And if you're a fan of rock music, I don't see the harm in it. Go see it. There's something else I wanted to mention that I forgot.
You can't remember what happened either.
I can't, yeah.
This is terrible. Oh, my God, we're getting old. This is what happens with old people. They're like, oh, what happened? What day is it? What did I have for breakfast?
Where's my pills?
If you asked me what I had for dinner last night, I'd be like, I don't know. I honestly, somebody at work actually... they said something funny. They said, if it hasn't happened in the past 20 minutes, I don't remember it. That's basically what I feel like recently.
You know,
that's terrible.
You know, it's funny. You can almost say the same thing for players and coaches in the NFL. Because it really is a league of what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, sometimes you see coaches, they've won the Super Bowl, and then like a couple of years later, they get fired or something. Or they make the Super Bowl or something. Look at Andy Reid. Made the Super Bowl,
yeah.
And it was like, you know, the second coming of Jesus in Philadelphia. And
to be fair,
yeah,
they only fired him after like another 10 years with the team.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
Right. It is. It's the league of what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
So it is kind of like that. We all have short-term memory.
Yeah.
So
I wish that we had short-term memory when it came to some sports news. And I think it's time to dive into our first segment, the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face!
That's right. And to kick off the sports sampler, we're going to hit a couple topics as fast as we can in 2 minutes or less. Time for the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed, and let's go. What do you have?
All right. First up in the two-minute drill, basketball news.
Ooh.
That's right. You heard me right. Basketball news, because the Philadelphia 76ers made a huge splash recently when they traded for four-time All-Star forward Jimmy Butler. The Sixers sent Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayley's
yes.
and a 2022 second round pick for Butler. This latest addition gives the Sixers a reliable and potent big three as Butler joins fellow All-Star Joel Embiid and Rookie of the Year Ben Simmons. The move also makes them arguably the leading contender in the Eastern Conference. Rich, is it safe to say the Sixers are probably the favorite now to take the Eastern Conference with this move?
They're definitely up there with the Celtics. I don't know if they outshine the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, but they are
pretty damn. They were third. What were they? The third seed last year.
Yeah.
Without Butler.
Right. So it's definitely looking good for the 76ers this season. There's nobody else in the Eastern Conference.
Right. I mean, we make it sound like, oh, it's such a tough hill to climb, but like, no, it's not.
Yeah. So I think there's a sense within the 76ers organization this is a win now moment.
They're trying to conjure up some Eagles magic.
Yeah.
Trying to ride that wave. Well, you know who's not riding any waves? The Steelers All-Pro running back Le'Veon Bell. Actually, he's sitting out on the side of the pool because he has decided he will not report to the Steelers and he will be ineligible to play for the rest of the season. He will continue his holdout past the deadline, making him completely ineligible for the 2018 season, giving up all that franchise tag money he could have had if he had signed. Really, this is an exceptional and unprecedented move. We've never really seen a player in the modern era do something like this, boycott and hold out an entire year. But Bell, he's not apologizing. He actually had this to say, quote, "I'm not apologizing for what I believe is right for myself, family, and the rest of my peers."
Ah! There you go. There you go. Two minutes.
So this Le'Veon Bell thing, Rich.
Yeah.
This is wild. I can't remember any player that's ever held out this long.
Yeah.
Can you think of a player in football that has ever done this? I think it's safe to say that this is like the first of its kind.
Right. This is really...
At least that I know.
At least somebody who's on a mega superstar deal and everything like that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's college football players that have extended holdouts and don't show up and everything like that.
Yeah.
But this
I know
is
T.O.
definitely...
sat out the entire 2005 season, but that was different.
Right.
He was suspended and yeah.
Right. But yeah, this is crazy for Pittsburgh and Le'Veon Bell. I'm really surprised that they couldn't come to some sort of agreement.
It's wild. I mean, he is the best running back in the league, and the Steelers just either don't have the money or don't want to pay him. This is the second year in a row that they franchise tagged him, and you know, what's to stop them from trying it again the next year? And here's the big question is, I don't know how this affects his veteran status. I don't know if 2018 counts now towards his years of experience. Whether,
yeah, it might not.
So I don't know if he's still going to be on the Steelers or if he's going to be a free agent next year. Le'Veon Bell's agent apparently says that there's, you know, some loophole or some caveat in the collective bargaining agreement where he'll be able to become a free agent. But I just don't know enough about that. And if I were Le'Veon Bell, I'd be very worried that the Steelers are going to slap me with another franchise tag, and then you have to make the decision. Do you hold out again, or do you play under the tag?
Yeah.
But
how long are you going to keep holding out for?
Right, just hold out for the rest of your career and just retire.
Yeah, there you go. Why not?
But, you know, I don't want to make it sound like we're coming down against Le'Veon Bell here. I actually think that what he's saying is really important. We were talking a little bit before the show about how the NFL really has a team favored contract system in place.
Oh yeah.
Teams have a lot of power.
Out of the big four sports, yeah, the NFL is actually the one that favors the franchises the most.
Yeah, and
franchises can cut a player for any reason, anytime,
yeah,
regardless of contract
and
whatever.
And contracts, they're always, you know, backloaded with all the money, and money is locked behind incentives and different clauses. The big trend now is guaranteed money. Everybody mentions the guaranteed money. That's only a thing because it wasn't a thing previously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone's like, where did all this guaranteed money come from? It's because it was never a thing. And so now players are finally getting a little bit of a safety net, a little bit of a guarantee from these teams that they're going to have something. It used to be you get injured and that's it. You're done. You get nothing. And so Le'Veon Bell is, you know, speaking out against that type of mentality where he could have played the season on the franchise tag. He could have had, you know, 300, 350 carries, beaten up his body, entered free agency, broken, you know? And then what's his worth going to be? So he's making the decision to keep his body healthy for free agency, that he can, you know, go into 2019 and say, hey, look, I'm still completely fresh.
Yeah, you know, I don't have another 300 carries. Yeah.
Meanwhile, his backup, James Conner, the dude is... you know, already halfway through the season, already has 164 carries. I mean, the workload on the running back there in Pittsburgh, you know, that guy is going to be banged up for next year. And it's something that players have to consider. It's such a violent game. I think the most violent game. And you have contracts which heavily favor the franchises and don't have a lot of protections for players. So Bell is taking a very risky and a very costly stand here for what he thinks
is right.
Yeah,
very bold move.
Very bold move. I have to say, though, I kind of support him. The Steelers are kind of being jerks here.
Yeah. I'm really...
Do you agree or do you disagree?
I agree. And I'm really just surprised that they just couldn't just figure out some sort of way to make him happy.
Yeah. You have... he's the best running back in the league.
Yeah.
You got to make it work somehow.
Especially with Big Ben's window closing. Like, I thought, like, they would... Like, after the first couple of games this season, I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know, the team's still trying to figure things out.
Right.
It's early. Now we're more than halfway through the season, And now Bell has crossed the point of no return.
Well, it's,
and I just can't believe it's gotten to this point.
Yeah, I can't believe it's gotten to this point either. And I don't know, maybe I'm completely wrong. Somebody correct me if I am. I feel like the blame falls on the Steelers because I feel like, you know, Le'Veon Bell is raising valid points. He wants security. He wants a contract that matches the other top running backs in the league. Both of those very valid points. The Steelers, balls in their court, to use a basketball term, a football story. But no, I feel like the Steelers felt slighted and they, you know, took their toy and they went off in the corner and they said, we're not going to play. And that's what it seems like to me. Bell said, I want security. I want a long-term deal. I want to be paid in line with the other running backs. And the Steelers were like, nope. And they just walked away. I could be completely wrong, but that's how the optics appear to me.
Okay. So let's just assume, yeah, that this is all Steelers' fault.
Okay.
Le'Veon Bell, end of season, let's say they somehow justify that he can go into free agency. Do you think that either helps or hurts his value? Because now on the flip side, he hasn't seen an NFL game in a year.
Oh, I mean, I think it definitely ends up hurting his value. For two reasons. One, he hasn't played in a year. I mean, some players bounce back, sure, but we don't know. It's always a risk. I also think it hurts his value because I know there are some teams out there, the Steelers, who won't sign a player that comes across as not willing to lie down for the franchise.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, is now it looks like,
the Eagles under Andy Reid and Joe Banner, when Trotter and Hugh Douglas and these types of players went to them with contract issues, what did they do? They cut them.
Yeah.
What did they do with T.O.? There are absolutely teams out there. I'm not saying the Eagles are one of them, but there are teams out there that will look at Le'Veon Bell and say, nope.
Yeah, I don't want that headache.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know who will sign him? Dallas Cowboys if they didn't have Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have Ezekiel. They snap up trouble like it's their job.
So who do you think he goes to then in free agency?
I mean, the lunatic in me says Eagles.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But realistically, I mean, the question is, who has...
The Browns.
The Browns? You think the Browns?
Yeah. Because he has a you would have a steady counterpart with Nick Chubb,
right?
He could teach Nick Chubb the ropes in the NFL, and he would face the Steelers twice.
Ooh,
revenge games.
Well, I mean, he could go anywhere in the AFC North with that logic. See, I'm not too keen on running backs anymore because it's not really a position that, in my mind, is as glamorous as it used to be.
Well, yeah.
I feel like there's a lot more. I feel like the focus on the running game is like, eh.
It's a passing league.
Yeah. If you're not in the top five, you're nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Name a running back out of the. Well, you can because you play fantasy. But, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, I would say to average football fans, name a running back out of the top five, top ten, you know, that's like a complete standout. There's nobody. There's a bunch of nobodies. James Conner. He looks amazing.
Yep.
Hey, who is he? He's a backup. He's a nobody. He's like a mid-round pick, isn't he?
And yeah, he's doing well.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, on a fantasy note, sorry to anybody that drafted Le'Veon Bell in their first five picks. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That's got to be the worst luck ever. I am so glad I was like number five in most of my drafts.
Yeah, that really stings. But, Rich, that's a great segue. If they are feeling the sting, what can fantasy football owners do to help ease the pain? It's time for Rich's fantasy football advice.
Yes. So, unfortunately, yeah, if you picked Le'Veon Bell in your draft at the beginning of this year, I hate to say it, but you're probably screwed, man. That's tough. A first-round pick is going to put up zero fantasy points for you this year. That
hurts. I don't play fantasy, and I know that hurts.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, sorry to anybody out there that suffered that fate. So my main advice for this week in fantasy football is basically it's time to pivot towards the end game. You're now 10 games into the fantasy football season. So basically I'm going to try and tier this as best as I can. If you have, I'm going to go with, if you have 8, If you have 7, 8, 9, or even 10 wins, if you're undefeated, your shift should now be towards the playoffs. You should be trying to look for players, teams, kickers, anybody that has a very favorable schedule for week 14, week 15, and week 16. Or week 17 if that's included in your playoffs, but I hope it isn't because that's really unfair because teams start to bench their players in week 17.
That's crazy.
But anyway, the point is that if you have 7 or more wins, that's where you should be focusing your mindset because now you're trying to aim to make the playoff run. If you're at 3, 4, 5, or 6 wins, focus on making the playoffs because in order to win money in your league, you got to at least make the playoffs. If you're not in, you're out. So focus on the matchups coming up week 11, week 12, week 13, so that you definitely are in. Because you don't want to hold a couple of prospects in week 14 and week 15, and then you don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if you're at 3, 4, 5, or 6 wins, focus on making the playoffs. And unfortunately, if you're only at 1 or 2 wins or you're 0 and 10,
pack up, move the team to Vegas.
Yeah, I'd say get ready for your league's punishment because at that point you're probably at the bottom of the totem pole. Or if not, fight so you don't get the punishment.
There you go.
So I think that's the overall aim of this lesson is now's the time to shift towards the end game. Focus where you're at in the league that you're in and plan accordingly. Hopefully, you get ready for the playoffs. Hopefully you're in the playoffs and you're getting ready for the playoffs. So there you go. My fantasy football advice for week 11. All right. And now it's time to go back to regular football.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've been dreading to talk about. The Eagles lost at home to the Dallas Cowboys. And I think I'm going to stay silent on this, and I'm just going to let a clip of Donnie Brasco describe how I'm feeling.
I don't even want to look at you. You stabbed the wrong guy in the back, my friend.
What are you talking about?
Go to the bow. I'm going to stay in the stern. You go to the bow. Stay there. I'm so disgusted with you.
There you go.
I'm so disgusted with you.
Al Pacino saying it best that I, you know, there you go. That's how I feel. I just feel so disgusted.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's, where do we even begin?
I'm so disgusted with you, Donnie.
That's a great way to sum it up is, you know, I have to make a confession. I slept through part of the game because, one, I've come to the realization this year that the Eagles are actually a bad team, and they're really just not going to accomplish much. I hope they prove me wrong 5 weeks from now. We're like, oh my God, remember when we thought they were terrible? I highly doubt that's going to happen. I think they are a bad team this year. I think part of it's their problem. I think part of it's out of their hands. But I slept through
part of the problem, you do have to admit, is all these injuries. The injuries are really starting to pile up.
Oh, yeah. Well, we lost Ronald Darby in the game.
Yeah.
Cornerback Ronald Darby, and that means that we're now missing our top 3 corners.
Yep.
So we're starting Rasul Douglas and I don't know, sack of potatoes. I don't know who the other guy is. I think Malcolm Jenkins is.
Is Bruno playing?
He might be. He did play a little bit of corner in high school. So
where's Bruno? He's on the start.
He's just as good as what they got out there. I think they're dropping Malcolm Jenkins into play nickel corner, and they have Avante Maddox, who was our 4th or 5th string corner, playing the one safety spot, and Corey Graham playing the other safety spot. It's just a hodgepodge of players back there in the defensive backfield. So teams are like, why do we even need to bother game planning? We're just going to throw all day, every day. Dak Prescott looked like, you know, he didn't put up a lot of touchdowns, but I think he had like his most passing yards all year against us.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yep.
You know,
it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, exactly. One season. This is like, I mean, me and you, we're used to this stuff. You know, the crippling heartbreak and depression of being let down by the Eagles time and time again. But for some reason, it stings extra bad this season after coming off that Super Bowl win. It's just you expect more from the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, this might go down as one of the worst defending Super Bowl campaigns in NFL history.
And it's going to get worse. I think we have like the first or second hardest second half schedule.
We got Rams and Saints next week.
Yeah, and we still have to play the Redskins twice.
Yep.
And they are tough.
They're not a pushover.
They're leading the division right now.
They're going to win the division.
Oh, easily.
At this rate,
oh,
yeah.
Easily.
So, yeah, it's
not even a competition at this point.
It's pretty bad right now.
So, how bad is it? We need to bring this up. Is it time to push the panic button?
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles were rested at home against a division rival in a must-win situation, and they still lost.
I can't believe...
Is this panic button time?
Yes.
How hard are we pushing the button?
Absolutely. And I can't believe this happened at home.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta...
I don't think we've won a game at home.
I think we won one, maybe. At some point we won one. But it's just sad that the Philly fans are just getting... Not just how can you lay a dud like this in front of the passionate Philly fans?
Against Dallas, too.
Against Dallas, yeah.
Well, you could hear the boos during the game.
Yeah. It was not a sight to be at, I think.
Where do we fix this? How do we fix this? What do we do?
I think it's too late in the season. There's too many injuries.
Oh no, I don't mean fix it for this season.
This season's done.
This season's over. But going forward, is there an area where we can identify a way in which we can get better?
Yes.
For next year?
Offensive line, please.
The
first round draft pick we pick needs to be an offensive line. We need somebody to come in and help out because we're not getting any sort of traction in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a couple snaps where Wentz drops back and he's already dodging pass rushes.
Yeah,
this is you know the offensive line from
Wentz can't do everything.
No, he can't.
If he's scrambling in the pocket within the first 2 seconds, he's not going to be able to be Wentz from last year.
No. And you know what? It's crazy, though, but he's still playing great this season. Like, it's crazy. He has over 2,100 yards. He's completing 70% of his passes, 15 touchdowns, only 3 picks, 105 quarterback rating. And I feel like he's getting pressured every single play.
Yeah. Imagine if he had a decent offensive line and he had time in the pocket.
How about a running game?
Or a running game, yeah.
To take some of that pressure off of him. This is the really shocking thing. We only had 71 rushing yards, but 29 of those came on one run. So what was the run game then?
Yeah.
Other than that one play,
it's not good. Everything's just falling apart. And
it's bad. It's bad and it's sad and it's hard to find any positives. The only positive for me is Zach Ertz. 14 receptions, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'd argue you're leaning too heavily on him. Teams know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
They know where we're going. But I also think that it's not I think it is a sign of another problem in that it goes back to the offensive line troubles. He's constantly throwing to Ertz because Ertz is the safety net. He is the most reliable receiver to get the ball out too quick. Because he doesn't have time to go through his reads. He doesn't have time to set up a deep pass.
You're right.
He doesn't have time to go, you know, second, third read, get it to Aguilar, you know? He's got to get it off quick to his number one target because he's getting rushed.
Yep. You got to win the battle in the trenches first.
You know what makes winning that easier is having a reliable run game. You know what else makes that easier is having a defense that can stop opposing teams. You know, the defensive backfield's another issue. We already talked about that, but that pisses me off. That teams continue to come in here and just have their way with us.
Yeah. So, unfortunately for Eagles fans, yeah, this is complete meltdown. I think this is it. The season is officially lost.
Who's the scapegoat at the end of the year? Let's say, I don't think it would be a miracle if we go more than 7-9 at this point. Who's the scapegoat for going 13-3? Winning a Super Bowl, regressing to 7-9. What happens? Does anything happen?
I don't know if anything does happen because I think that you still get a pass coming off of a year off of winning the Super Bowl. But 2019 needs to be a quick rebound year.
Yeah. If they don't win double-digit games and make a deep run at the playoffs in 2019, I think heads are going to roll.
Yeah.
Either the first one's
like
gonna,
we said.
First one's going to be like, Jim Schwartz, I think.
Like we said before, this is the league of what have you done for me recently.
Yeah.
You know? If you tell me they go 7-9 this year, and then next year they only go 8-8, I don't know. I don't think.
That's bad. That's a bad look.
Yeah. So.
What do you think rest of the season? What do you think they got for us?
I don't know. They're going to lose next week to the Saints. There's no way they're going to contain that offense.
Yeah.
And then they got another matchup against the Rams.
Houston. All of our remaining teams other than New York and Dallas have winning records.
Yeah. I don't know.
We have two games against teams that don't have winning records. It's brutal. Brutal.
Yeah. That's why this was a must-win game. They had to get this to secure losing games against the Rams and the Saints, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I think that's it. I think this is the death blow.
I'd be very surprised if we even get to 7-9.
Well, speaking of predicting the future, it's time to look into the Fantastic Four picks for week number 11 of the NFL season.
Yeah, because I'm done talking about the Eagles for now. I want to talk about some better teams. Yeah. Oh, my God, it pains me to say this. We got a Wild West showdown. The Houston Texans are going to Washington to face off against the Redskins Sunday at 1 o'clock. Rich, who do you like in this one? Two sort of surprise teams this year, both playing better than I thought we had them pegged.
Yeah, Houston is definitely on a nice roll with that offense, humming with Deshaun Watson and Hopkins and Lamar Miller.
He just had a signing, didn't they?
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas. They just traded for him. So now their wide receiving core is beefed up as well. You know, I'm going to go with the Texans in this one. The Redskins are a decent team, but they're wildly unpredictable sometimes. They lost a big game to the Falcons 2 weeks ago. I'm going to say Texans pull this one off.
Okay. I actually like the Redskins in this one. Alex Smith is a rock for them. He is slow and steady. He doesn't do a lot, but he wins close games. And I think that these two teams are going to play a close game. And I think the Redskins have a chance of pulling this one off. I just feel like they have that mojo that we had last year right now. They're just feeling positive about themselves. They've had a few speed bumps, but they're still 6-3. And not only that, they have a very easy schedule coming up, so I think that they are feeling very positive.
Redskins take that game. I think the division's pretty much locked up.
Oh, yeah. I think they feel that. I think they're feeling that in Washington, something they haven't felt in a long time. I think they're going to try and capitalize on it. So I'm going Redskins here, unfortunately.
Okay, what's the next game?
Next up, we have a battle for the Bitter North. The NFC North, that is. The Minnesota Vikings travel to Chicago to play against the Bears. This is shaping up to be a very good game. Rich, who do you have pegged to win this division rivalry?
You know, it's funny. If you asked me this at the beginning of the year, I would have easily said the Vikings. But
yeah.
The Bears have really morphed into a new team. First off, getting that defense on track.
Khalil Mack.
I mean, that defense is a whole new look. They are fierce and ferocious. They're getting record numbers of sacks. So it's not going to be a fun day for Kirk Cousins, I think. And on the flip side, Trubisky, he's having the Carson Wentz year of last year.
Yeah.
He is having a sophomore surgence. He is playing lights out. I like the Bears at home in this one.
Yeah, you know what? I have to agree. The Bears' defense is just scary good right now. Minnesota still has a tough defense, but, you know, here's the thing. And I can't stop harping on it because I feel like I've been vindicated and justified. Alex Smith went to Washington with the same team that Kirk Cousins had and is 6-3. Kirk Cousins went to the Minnesota Vikings and 5-3-1. Kirk Cousins is terrible, but nobody realizes it. Bears are going to win.
Wow.
The same
you
team.
You really hate Kirk Cousins.
The same team. Wow. The same team.
I knew you didn't like him, but wow. You really...
I hate him. He's whatever. You know who I do like, though, this
no,
year?
No, please. Tell me more about Kirk Cousins. This
he's terrible. He five $90 million should not win, not get you ties. But you know what I do like, though, is this game of the season, a possible Super Bowl preview. The Kansas City Chiefs are traveling to L.A. to face off against the Rams. This was originally supposed to be played in Mexico, but the field was so bad, they had to switch it back to L.A. So, Rich.
Good job, Mexico.
Good job, Mexico. Yeah.
All right.
One shot
Mexico,
at this.
All right. Okay. They had all the chances to build the most perfect field, and they couldn't do it. So, I'm bringing the
game
back.
They're not giving us their best sporting arenas.
Nope.
They're giving us shoddy fields.
I know sporting arenas.
And
okay.
Bad turf. Some, I think, are okay.
They're sending their worst.
Yeah. But no, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Rams are going to be sending their best in this matchup. It's a Monday night primetime game.
This is going to be good. This
is the Super Bowl. I don't care who ends up winning the playoffs this year. This is the Super Bowl. Rich, who's going to win the Super Bowl
this year?
Yeah,
this is going to be great. The two high-powered offenses, Patrick Mahomes dueling against Jared Goff. This is going to be an epic slugfest. This is going to be tough. Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Ooh, you're taking a play out of my book.
I'm going with the Chiefs. The Rams, they're susceptible to a passing attack. That's how they lost to the Saints. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. But oh my gosh, this is going to be a great game. Oh, Monday night too. Oh. Can we just fast forward to Monday night?
I know, right? This is, oh man, this is going to be a great game. I think I'm just going to skip the Eagles game this week and just focus this game on my game of the week. Yeah, this is. You look at these two teams; they're so evenly matched. The only difference that I see between these two teams.
Oh, I know something I want to mention. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Rams lost Cooper Kupp. That's going to be a big blow.
Right, they did
just lost. Yeah. So, another tip, by the way, if you have him on your fantasy team, drop him. ACL injury.
Oh, man, you know what? You totally just spun this in a different direction for me because that is really going to hurt them. Oh, man. I was initially going to pick Rams, but I had forgotten about the Kupp injury, and that is a big blow to them. He was a good, good
solid
player for them. Yeah.
Second wide receiver.
Yeah. The Chiefs, they just have this mojo about them this year. Mahomes is like, we knew Jared Goff was going to be good. We knew that, what's his face, the running back there. Who's Todd Gurley was going to be good. We knew that defense was going to be good. But the Chiefs, man, they are just shocking everybody. And I think they continue to shock people by beating the Rams here. Andy Reid has a knack for winning these types of games.
Now,
and so... What?
So you're going with Chiefs.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is this the year for Big Red? I don't know. There's a lot of things lining up for him perfectly this year.
It might be. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to say yes, absolutely. I think they're going to go like 14-2 in the regular season. But then playoff...
And then lose the first playoff game.
Well, no, because... No, absolutely. I mean, we know all too well playoff Andy Reid is a... different coach than regular season Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I mean, how many 11 plus win seasons do we have just to end in the NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. We'll see. But right now I'm really feeling the Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs. I wish I could be that positive about Andy Reid's former team, the Philadelphia Eagles, because in this upcoming loss.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah, in this upcoming loss that we'll have against the Saints, Rich, who do you think is going to win?
This is just all signs point to Saints. They're at home. They're, you know, their offense is just stunning people left and right. I mean, it's either death by pass between Breeze and Michael Thomas, or death by running back with Kamara and Ingram. I don't see the Eagles. There literally is 0% chance the Eagles win this game. I don't see how it happens.
Which is why
They're going to win.
They're going to lose.
Okay, good.
last week, I had originally picked Dallas, and Rich convinced me otherwise. He's like, you know, I can't believe you'd do that. But I had a gut feeling, and last year, I trusted my gut. I said it was different, and they won the Super Bowl. This year, I got to trust my gut, and the Eagles are just downright terrible. They can't beat teams in Philly. What makes you think they're going to go to New Orleans and beat the Saints with Drew Brees in a dome? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Saints all the way. It would be, I would be shocked if the Saints didn't put up 40 on us.
All right, and there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 11 of the NFL season. Yeah, it's dark times for Eagles fans once again.
Just skip the Eagles game this week. Just go straight to Monday and watch that Chiefs-Rams game.
I agree.
That is going to be amazing. I hope it lives up to the hype.
Yeah. All right, and with that, we are going to wrap up the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because coming next, we've got the entertainment entree, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Oh, yeah, we still have plenty more shows still to come. It's not all sports. It's not all doom and gloom in Philly. We got some other things to chat about as well. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, your sister's ass, the Punish Press. Very pissed off thing here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever asked me to be on but the Crispy Noodle podcast. That's what pissed off. Podcast that don't ask me to be on.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah. We are kicking off the entertainment entree with a special Marvel news bulletin update. It's the news that broke all around the world on Monday, and it's definitely important to us that are fans of superhero movies and comic books. Stan Lee, the creator of most of the heroes that you see in the Marvel Universe, or at least a co-creator.
Yeah.
He always has had a hand in it, or always had a hand in the development of all those superheroes in Marvel, passed away.
Yeah, this is super sad news. Stanley passed away at the age of 95, lived a long life. But you know what? It's sad, but it's also during these times when we reflect on the amazing career and life that these types of people lived. And for us in particular, I know we're both huge superhero comic book movie fans. And me personally, Marvel was my wheelhouse. You know, I was all about the Marvel Universe. I'm wearing a Venom shirt right now.
There you go.
Repping the Marvel Universe. So losing Stan Lee is really sad. But like I said, it's a good time to reflect on the impact that he had. And he had such a profound impact on comics and entertainment. Like you said, he created or co-created basically everyone: Black Panther, Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, Fantastic Four, Daredevil, and most famously the X-Men and Spider-Man were all, you know, partially or wholly his creation. So this huge cinematic universe we have and know and love and cherish so much now was basically the brainchild of Stan Lee and like maybe one or two other people, but a lot of it was Stan Lee.
Yeah. He was definitely the guiding force for Marvel and the development of all their superheroes. And just he was just known throughout the fans. I mean, he also showed up to plenty of comic book conventions. And
yeah,
he was always in the cameos in all the movies.
He was a fan favorite. He was always so full of life, and he really loved his craft and what he did. And he believed that entertainment and art could really make a difference and influence people. And he sort of demonstrated that by the way that he pushed boundaries with the characters and the comics that he was creating. If you'll allow me a little side tangent about why I think the Marvel heroes in particular are so impactful in terms of what they represent. Because at that time when he was creating, you know, the X-Men and Spider-Man and all these characters that I listed, superheroes were sort of these like godly-like figures. You know, Superman and Batman were like monolithic and all-powerful. And here comes along little scrawny Spider-Man, teenager, super flawed, dealing with real problems and teenage angst. And he was a nerd and he was bullied and nothing sort of went his way. And he sort of stumbled into his powers and had to learn how to be a hero. He wasn't born with superpowers. He didn't buy gadgets. He wasn't a god or an alien. He was just a dorky New York teen from the suburbs. And he had to become larger than life. And that really resonated with people at the time. And I think it still resonates with people today, which is why those types of heroes and those movies had such a monumental impact. You look at some of the most memorable heroes, you know, Iron Man, Tony Stark is an alcoholic. And, you know, he's sort of this
playboy,
mean dude, sarcastic, cynical. You look at the X-Men, and the X-Men always dealt with issues of diversity and inclusivity and, you know, social justice issues. It's really complex stuff. Daredevil is a blind superhero, right?
Yep.
Black Panther gave a huge superhero voice to the African-American community. It's just wild to think that Stan Lee had such foresight to create characters that would be so lasting and so endearing so many years later. And the way that they've shaped entertainment and given us a blueprint for, you know, these action comedy movies. It's like a tone in movies nowadays that everybody tries to mimic that Marvel tone, you know, of the high action and the quippy dialogue and everything is interconnected. It's really breathtaking to see the impact that that universe has had. And the origin of it all, Stan Lee.
That's right. It all starts with him.
Thank you for allowing my little rant.
No, I
think it's important to reflect on something like this.
Yeah. Stan Lee would go on the face of the Mount Rushmore of comic book history.
Yeah. I would argue entertainment in general. I mean, look at the MCU. Is monumental.
Yep.
It defines modern entertainment.
Yes, and I would definitely not disagree with you on that. And it's definitely a blow to the comic book community. Even if you're only just a DC fan or anything, you have to respect what Marvel puts out, and Stan Lee was a big part of that. And he was definitely known throughout pop culture, throughout the Marvel movies, throughout entertainment in general. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So it's a sad loss, but his legacy will absolutely live on in, you know, the MCU and all the wonderful characters that he created. So, Stan Lee, thank you for everything, and Excelsior.
Yes. Can I end on where that comes from?
Sure.
Do you know what it means?
I don't.
Excelsior? It is from the Latin meaning ever upward.
Oh, there you go.
He said in a 2007 interview that while he was writing a monthly column for a local comics publisher, he said he wanted a phrase to end off his articles, and he tried a couple out. He tried a couple things out called here's a couple that he tried: hang loose. I don't think that would have fit. Face front.
No.
And Nuff said. I could see that being in a movie.
I feel like that is
Spider-Man. Nuff said.
That is the closest one to working out of those options.
Yeah. So he tried those three sparingly, and he found that other articles were actually going to try and use them. So that's when he dove into the Latin dictionary and said that he was going to find an expression that A, they're not going to know what it means, and B, they're not going to know how to spell it. So we chose Excelsior.
Well, it worked.
And it worked. And that's a much better catchphrase
than face front.
Face front, hang loose, and nuff said.
I like nuff said.
Not, that could be, maybe that's your saying.
Nuff said.
At the end of all your conversations.
There you go. When I'm done ranting about Kirk Cousins, nuff said.
There you go. Perfect.
When I'm done praising Stanley, nuff said.
Perfect.
It works.
So there you go. We had to set aside some time for that. The great Stan Lee passed away at the age of 95 this week. Now with that in mind, it's time to officially start the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Harrison Yates, where have you been? I haven't seen you in days. I've missed you so much. Come have some supper with me.
Maggie, I just need to relax a bit, all right? Please. I've been waiting for this a long time. Just give me a... Wait a minute. The house in Valentine is built? Where did I get a sniper rifle? Maggie, did you play over my save game?
I just played a little bit.
A little bit? You... On my save game? Why didn't you start your own?
You're never home anymore. I need a life too, you know. So I robbed a lumber mill in Montrose Rest, upgraded my horse, and got a sniper rifle.
That's my life, Maggie. I was going for more honor points, God damn it!
Why can't we have a life together?
I haven't gotten to play in 3 days. You've done all this stuff without me. You got deputized? God damn it, that does it.
Where are you going?
Starting a new life. Creating a new save game.
You can't possibly go all the way back to the snow level again.
What choice do I have now? Bitch.
And there you go. The latest from South Park.
That was perfect.
They perfectly made fun of Red Dead Redemption 2 addiction.
I feel that person's pain. I totally would relate. If someone had advanced my save game, I'd be heartbroken.
But what happens if it's your wife? She just wants to connect with you.
She should start her own save file. It's that simple. No, I have a guest account on my PlayStation 4 just for that.
There you go.
If someone's like, I want to try this game, and I'm like, oh, it's a single player and only has one save file, play on the guest account. Simple. But yeah, no, Red Dead Redemption is... It's life.
Yes. And that, I just love that. I got to start my own life.
Yeah.
Hit new game.
You can't possibly go back to the snow level. Well, the snow levels.
What choice do I have?
The snow levels were terrible. They weren't terrible. It was just, it's much better once you get past the snow levels.
They're
good. Necessary. They're necessary.
They're good tutorial levels.
Yeah.
You know? They're good to get your feet wet and used to... the world of Red Dead Redemption.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, you don't want to go back to it though.
No, absolutely not. But that was great. I love how South Park is so relevant and timely.
Yeah.
So like, that to was... get out an episode about Red Dead Redemption 2 that quickly, that's impressive.
Yeah. So that came out this past week. And I just love the fact like they reference Valentine and the places in the game.
I was like, wow, that is like dedication right there.
Yeah, you know, because so that means I feel like they played the game then.
Oh yeah, and they mentioned, I know exactly what we're talking about, the house of Valentine being built.
Yeah.
They're building that one house on the corner and like you can watch it like being built throughout the game.
Oh my god, it already got built.
Yeah. So when he mentioned it, I was like, oh my god, that's like super specific. I love that. The specificity lends reality to it. It's great.
Yes. I would agree as well. So there you go. Kudos to the South Park guys for coming out with this little bit on Red Dead Redemption 2, featured in the latest episode of South Park. And damn it, if I can't do this anymore, I have to start my own life. A new game file. So there you go, latest from South Park there. All right, now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend in movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
All right, well, if marital struggles at home don't tear you apart, what do you have to look forward to this weekend, Mike?
Well, hopefully you're not torn over what movie to see, because there's a really good one coming out this week. Widows is a new crime drama thriller from Academy Award-winning director Steve McQueen. A star-studded cast is led by Viola Davis and also includes Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell, and Robert Duvall. After a police shootout kills four thieves, their widows are left with nothing except the debts of their deceased husbands. Hoping to make a future on their own terms, the four women band together to pull off a heist one of the husbands had been planning. The movie already has an 88% on Metacritic and a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Sorry, a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow.
Can you read numbers?
Well, no. You know what it is? The time between I wrote the copy and these numbers being updated, like, that's how much traction this movie is getting. The numbers are just changing constantly now. So yeah, 94 on Rotten Tomatoes, 88 on Metacritic. Either way, a very strong initial review for this movie. Go check it out. That's Widows in theaters now. Next up, Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald is the latest fantasy action adventure in the Harry Potter universe. Fans will be thrilled to see a young Albus Dumbledore in this film as he enlists former pupil Newt Scamander in his fight against Grindelwald, who plans to have pure-blood wizards rule over all non-magical beings. The film has received average reviews from critics so far, but I think fans eager to see more from an earlier era of the Harry Potter lore should still get a kick out of this one. I know I'm eager to see it. Go check it out. Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald in theaters this weekend.
Oh, yeah. All Harry Potter fans rejoice.
Oh, it's a must. Go check it out. In TV, Trevor Noah, Son of Patricia, is a new Netflix-exclusive comedy special from The Daily Show host, premiering on Tuesday, November 20th. The show will touch on tacos, runaway snakes, camping, racism, immunity, and life lessons learned from his mother. That's a great combination right there.
Yay, tacos.
Tacos, snakes, and life lessons. Trevor Noah has a sort of storyteller-esque vibe to his comedy and usually involves some sort of social issues in his routine. So if that sounds interesting, make sure to check this one out. I know I'm really looking forward to it. I really loved his previous special, Afraid of the Dark, I think it was. Really, really funny bits in there.
Yeah, he has good specials on Netflix.
Yeah, so definitely go check that out. And finally, in video games, Spyro the Reignited Trilogy comes to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. This is a complete remake of the original Spyro the Dragon trilogy from PlayStation 1. The original Spyro trilogy was a massive 3D mascot game that was a contemporary to Crash Bandicoot in the mid-90s. Those two games really helped define the PlayStation era. And after the success of the Crash remake recently, fans knew that Spyro had to be right around the corner. This classic action platformer, players take on the role of the young dragon Spyro, who finds himself as the only hope to save the dragon world. The game blends simple action, platforming, and exploration in a whimsical, non-linear fantasy setting. So if you've ever wanted to be a dragon and shoot flames and glide and collect gems and do all that good dragon stuff, I guess, go check out Spyro the Reignited Trilogy. I already have it downloaded, and I am super excited to dive back in.
Uh-oh.
Little fun tidbit here. Do you want to know who the original developer of Spyro was?
Who was it?
Insomniac Games.
Oh, I thought so.
Who just released the mega PlayStation 4 exclusive blockbuster Spider-Man.
There you go.
Yeah. So after you're done playing Spider-Man, go back and play some of their first early games, and you'll see where they all started. Just like Naughty Dog with Crash, and now they're Last of Us. These game developers just evolve.
Go back to the past.
Yeah. So go check it out. That's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that, this week in entertainment. Now it's time to go into a quick little reaction bit because we talked about Walking Dead last week with the end of Andrew Lincoln on the show. So this was it, the first post, the first episode post Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah, what comes after? Oh man, this was definitely an interesting turn for the series. We were both sort of curious as to how they were going to handle it. You because Rick Grimes is the only protagonist you've known, and me because I've read the comics and I'm wondering how they possibly going to adapt these storylines. Rich, I know you were the more nervous of the two of us for the future of The Walking Dead.
Yep.
So what did you think about how they handled it? The big time jump, 6 years, all the new characters and all the new relationships. What did you think?
I was 50-50 on it, I think, to try and wrap it up altogether. My highlights were I obviously loved Negan trying to teach Judith from the jail cell.
Oh, that was brilliant.
I love that. I hope that continues.
That was one of the best scenes.
And also, I got to admit, the actress playing Judith actually holds her own.
She does.
Yeah, I like the banter going back and forth. It wasn't just all Negan. I really liked her commentary too.
Yeah,
you know, look how well your life turned out.
Yeah. You know? That line completely sold me on that character. I was like, yes, you are awesome.
Yeah. I was also digging Carol.
Oh,
and
yeah.
her callback to her ruthlessness.
The return of Pyro Carol.
The return of Badass Carol, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She has some serious issues, Rich.
No, she doesn't.
She is too quick.
She is surviving.
She's surviving by lighting all the fires.
Right.
No, Carol was awesome. I'm very interested to see where this all goes with her and Ezekiel and Henry and the sort of, you know, cobbled together family group they've created and just her ruthlessness. Are we going to see more of her ruthlessness? I mean, it was so chilling, those scenes. Very, very compelling stuff.
Yeah. So those are my highlights. I hope those aspects continue.
Okay.
What did you think?
I agree with both your points. I really love the Judith and Negan dynamic. I really liked Carol coming back and being her old badass self. I also liked the introduction of Magna and her crew. It was a group of characters I was looking forward to being introduced from the comics. A little bit different. They're taking their backstories in a different direction, which I think is going to be very interesting. The other thing that I really loved is obviously the reveal at the end of the episode of the next big bad enemy group. So you heard the walkers talking. Boy, what a twist. Now I know what's going to happen because I've read the comics, so I'm trying to stay vague and detached, but I'm really, really eager to see how the characters in the show deal with this new threat. It was very, very chilling. They did a really good job with that scene of showing the fear on Rosita and what's-his-face, Eugene.
Yeah.
And the shock and bewilderment, and you're right there with the characters in that muddy ditch, and you're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Super excited for that.
I do have to admit, though, everyone in this series apparently can't take a fall. Yeah. Rick falls on the barbed stick going through him.
Yeah.
Eugene falls. He breaks his leg. Like, everyone apparently on this show cannot take a fall.
To be fair, Eugene fell quite a ways. Rick, I don't know, man. All you had to do was, like, twist while you were falling or get your horse under control. That horse was stupid. I still can't get over the horse.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, people can't take falls very very good in this in this universe. That's how you defeat people. You don't got to get guns like the Hulk.
No, just push them off a cliff.
Right. All out war was a complete waste. All they had to do was walk up and push
Negan off of the top of the sanctuary podium.
There you go. Bam. All out war won.
Problem done.
They're like, wow, that was easy. You know, the Staples button, that was easy. but yeah, no, I really liked the first post-Rick episode. I know that sounds crazy to say, but I feel like there's a lot of positives going forward. I really like what they're doing with Michonne as well, how she's taking this leadership role. How it's hinting at her mental instability. You know, she's talking to dead people. And Judith is sort of like, that's my mom. That's what she does. She talks to dead people. You know, I think that could be an interesting. You know, it's
that's
like
my mom.
And this is what I hope they do with Judith is we've seen characters that have adapted to the apocalypse, but we've yet to see characters grow up in the apocalypse. And in terms of what that does to a person and how they develop, we saw a little bit of it with Carl because he had his developmental years in the apocalypse. But Judith is a product of this world, 100%. She's not like somebody that's been transplanted into it, somebody that remembers the way it used to be. You know, and yeah. Negan highlights that. He's like, do you even know what an airplane is? When they're doing yeah. the math problems, and she's reading an old math textbook, and she's like, two airplanes are flying, you know, towards each other. And Negan's like, have you ever seen one? Do yep. you think you'll ever see one? And she's like, no, probably not. And I think it'll be really interesting. I'm getting ahead of myself because I don't think the writers have this much nuance to focus on this character that has been born and raised in this world. I think they're going to completely forget about that after this episode and focus on her being a little revolver-wielding badass, which is fine, but I would love to see a little bit more of that as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Good
stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yes.
I know you're 50-50, but...
I'm 50-50, yeah.
But hang in there.
I figured this episode bought me a stay of making it to the mid-season finale.
Were you really that close to just
yeah,
cutting it off?
Because I loved Rick. Like, Rick, to me, was the whole purpose of the damn show.
But here's the thing, though. They're super manipulative. You were just going to stop after that episode?
Well,
with that ending, you're like, well, that's the end of the show. I don't need
apparently until the movie comes out when Rick Grimes comes back in the movie.
Well, that's what I mean. They're being manipulative. You have to watch. You can't not watch now.
Yeah, I got too much invested in it. I don't know.
Could you bring yourself? No, with the ending of the Andrew Lincoln episode, you could bring yourself to be like,
if I didn't like that episode, I don't know, maybe.
Wow, that see,
or,
I
you're, tell you what, something happens to like Negan. I don't have anybody on the show.
Negan is the only one keeping you around. I love Negan too, but Michonne and Judith and Carol,
Judith, I'm not 100% with yet.
Okay.
To me, that's
fair.
I'm still kind of swallowing the time jump here.
Okay. I thought they handled it well, the time jump mechanic.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. It was a good... Overall, I'd say they did a good job for what for the situation that they had to deal with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll give it to the mid-season. I'll definitely give it till that point.
Okay. Fair enough.
They're not on safe ground by any means.
I think this is a perfect representation of the divide in the fandom right now. In like, I wasn't always a comic reader, but recently this year I became a comic reader, and I'm very interested to see where it goes and how it diverges. And you are solely a show watcher, so your connection is through Rick.
Right. To me, the show was Rick.
Right. So it's like you don't have an idea of like what's coming up. So it's like if the characters left over don't grab you, then what point is there to stay?
Right. That's my problem.
So this is like a perfect example of where The Walking Dead is going and the line they have to walk between people who read the comics and people who only watch the show because they're in danger of losing one of these two groups.
Yeah.
You know?
And I feel like at some point they're going to have to...
They need
cut somebody out.
They need to, and you know, hindsight is 20/20. I don't want to say that they were right in killing off Carl and right in, you know, writing out Andrew Lincoln and Maggie, but I think to have a strong future, they need to take more ownership over it. And they have diverged lots, and some of the best storylines are where they diverged. Terminus, the extended prison plotline, those were all divergences from the comics, Carol being alive this long, another huge diversion. So I think they need to take ownership of that. They really need to lean into that. Judith, completely new. Magna, new backstory. You know, Gabriel still being a major player, that's new and different. Eugene's whole siding with the Savior is completely different. And now his, you know, his return, you know, that's different. So they need to take more ownership of that and lean more heavily into, you know, staking a new future for themselves.
Yeah.
They can't continue to straddle this line because you're going to get half-assed episodes, you know?
Right, and at some point you're gonna piss off one of the two groups eventually.
Right, exactly.
Might as well rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So we'll keep an eye on what Walking Dead tries to fulfill as they get closer to the mid-season finale.
I'm sure we'll have another discussion in 2 or 3 weeks when we see the mid-season finale.
Yeah. Oh no, Judith is dead!
I know, right?
Let's get to one last topic here in the entertainment entree. Sometimes we like to talk about movie trailers that come out, and boy, Monday was a busy day for movie trailers.
Oh yeah.
First off, Toy Story 4 trailer came out online, and everybody freaked out.
Right.
Everybody that grew up on Toy Story freaked out.
I mean, our generation, probably we were, you know, going crazy. At least I was like, oh my God, Toy Story 4.
Yep. The actual trailer, though, was kind of, I don't know, in my opinion, kind of meh.
Yeah, it was kind of a letdown. It was short. It didn't really say much or do much. It wasn't very entertaining,
yeah,
honestly.
I wasn't really too pleased by it. And to be honest, personally, I was also just kind of like, oh, man. Really? I thought Toy Story 3 was a great way to end the trilogy.
Toy Story 3 is as close to a perfect animated movie as you're going to get.
Yeah, and they're going to try and top it. And
so
I don't know. I'm worried that it's not going to be good.
We'll see.
But then the heavens cleared. And
I can't believe you're about to say this.
And this trailer came out for a movie called Detective Pikachu, where Ryan Reynolds is voicing a Pikachu. And
yeah.
It actually looks kind of good.
It actually looks
really
good.
And everybody online is scratching their heads and saying the same exact thing. Are we actually looking forward to Detective Pikachu more than Toy Story 4?
You know what? Here's the thing. At least for me. Toy Story 4, I knew it was coming, you know, when they made the announcement way back when. The trailer comes out. Doesn't really say or do much. Actually, the second teaser for Toy Story 4 was better than the first, but the initial one was very much a letdown. Detective Pikachu was a movie that I had written off. I was like, that sounds stupid. A Pikachu that's a detective? Get out of here, Pokemon. You guys are crazy.
You guys are smoking too many reefers.
Exactly.
Smoking too much of that Bulbasaur.
Is that what Bulbasaur is in the Pokemon universe? It's a weed plant?
I mean,
it's a weed animal thing?
It has weeds.
Yes. Okay.
they never mentioned what weed in particular.
You smoke me up some Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
Bulbasaur is like, what is this fresh hell that I've been introduced to? But yeah, that was my reaction, was just like, this is just insane. And then I saw the trailer and I was just floored by how funny it was. Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu. Oh my God, that enough right there is enough to sell tickets.
It's hilarious.
It's like, it is so incongruous that it just makes you, it just draws you into it. It's just, I didn't think it was going to be that good. So it was legitimately surprising. Whereas Toy Story 4 was expected and sort of, you know, bland.
It was a bummer.
It was.
It was. I was just kind of like, all right. But
yeah.
This Detective Pikachu, I'm like, I want to see more of this.
Yeah, you know, I got to say.
Which is what a trailer's supposed to do.
Exactly. It was not on my radar at all, but it is definitely on my radar now. Isn't that wild that we're in a universe where Detective Pikachu is getting more hype than Toy Story 4?
Welcome to 2018.
Yeah, right? Everything is backwards
yes.
and topsy-turvy.
That's right.
That's not to say I don't want to see Toy Story 4. I absolutely do. But right now, if I had to say which one I'm looking more forward to, I'd be hard-pressed.
Yeah.
I might have to go with Detective Pikachu.
Well,
it's novel.
I think the internet would agree with you.
Yeah.
And I do, too. Toy Story 4, I'm kind of nervous about it. I don't think it's going to be good.
You know why? They had a perfect movie.
Yeah.
That's what I think bothers me. It's the same thing with, like, Monsters University and Cars 2 and 3. And, you know, all the sequels that Pixar loves doing now. I don't get it. All these sequels that they're just, so enamored with. We used to get an original Pixar movie every year, and now we're lucky if we get a new Pixar movie, you know, every 3 years. Incredibles 2, and now Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Where's the original film?
Nowhere to be seen.
So, at least Detective Pikachu is original.
Yeah, and it actually kind of looks funny.
Yeah, it does. The Mr. Mime bit was hilarious.
Yeah. So let us know if you agree with us and the internet. Are you looking forward to Detective Pikachu? Or do you still have hope in Toy Story 4? Let us know on Twitter. But for right now, that'll wrap up the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, I've got your weekly dose of odd news. I've got some crazy stories. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiVittetto, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and it is time for our third and final segment of the show, where I think we've got some interesting news that we have to share with you. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. Never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird, wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. What do we got first?
How about we go to South Africa?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever been there before.
Nope. But this is something that is actually happening in a court in South Africa.
Okay.
In a shocking and bizarre case, a woman is suing her ex-boyfriend after she claims his abnormally long penis overstretched her vagina.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
Yes. This isn't legit.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
According to a report published in Mirror Magazine, 29-year-old, oh, I'm going to butcher this one.
Oh boy.
29-year-old Cylindel Mangina. That's what I'm going with. I don't know.
Sure. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Cylinder.
Oh, yeah. Mangina. Cylindal mangina.
Cylindal mangina.
Just call her cylinder.
Okay. 29-year-old cylinder mangina is planning to undergo reconstructive surgery.
Oh, my gosh. After that's awful.
She got intimate with 37-year-old Mugav Kurima. Mangina wants Kurima to pay the 150,000 rand cost of this surgery.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
What is that from, Rich?
It's from South Park.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
So big penis. I feel like this whole court case is just a humble brag.
Well, but
the guy's like, oh, man,
But here's the thing.
I have such a huge penis.
No, but here's the thing. The woman is suing.
Yeah.
And they allegedly broke up, their ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend.
It's still.
So she really must be pissed off at
him. I feel like he's secretly okay with this.
You know what? Go ahead.
He's like, oh, shucks, I have to pay all this money because I have such a huge dong.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, God.
I will accept my appearance in court.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
Like, could you just imagine the news reports afterwards? Like, he gives interviews. He's like, oh, if only I didn't have such a monstrous, monstrous penis.
Right. If he loses the court case, yeah. That should be his official statement.
Right.
I'm sorry, my monster dong destroyed you.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
So big penis. Oh, that cracks me up.
Mirror Magazine cites a report where Mangina told the newspaper that her private parts were tight before she met her ex in 2016. She said she fell in love with him even though he was allegedly married. Oh, that's even better. So, uh-oh. Yeah, he's a cheater. They ended the relationship this past May. It is unknown how large the penis is. The woman will reportedly have to testify in the court how big God. Specifically it is.
I mean, can't they just go to him and be like, as evidence, we need to measure?
Yeah, right?
I feel like that's something that's easily solved.
Can you unzip your pants?
Yeah.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
So
just serve him a subpoena and be like, you have to present your penis in court.
Yep. So something's gonna have to happen with this. This is a legit case that is happening in South Africa.
The thing. I feel bad for her. I feel like the guy is secretly okay with it.
Yeah, because if he loses, yeah, he's gonna have the ultimate brag story.
If he wins, then he doesn't have to pay money. If he loses, then he just goes around known as the monster dong guy. You know, and everyone's like, oh, there's the guy with the monster dong. Woe is him.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis, but you, wow, penis so big. So big penis.
So there you go. Wow. The South African courts, man, there's some weird stuff going on in there. All right. How about we come back home?
All right.
Let's do that.
Who says you can't go home? I don't know. Are those the lyrics to the song?
Yeah.
The Bon Jovi song?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and just
all
stopped.
I know.
That's it.
That's all I know.
Okay.
I tried.
That's a good effort.
Okay. How close to home are we going?
Let's do Texas.
Texas, okay.
Yeah, how about Texas?
The Lone Star State, all the way down there.
This might be the most Texas story ever.
Oh, God.
I'm gonna preface it with this.
Okay.
This is pretty Texas.
Okay.
A Texas woman found a very creative way to finalize the end of her 14-year marriage with more than just a signature. 43-year-old Kimberly Santelben Stittler celebrated her divorce with a party that culminated in an explosion of her old wedding dress. Yeah,
wow.
Bam!
So she blew it up?
She blew it up. I had enough of this crap. Take that, you bitch.
Oh, my God.
According to eyewitness Carla Santelben Newport, who's Kimberly's sister. She says that they were getting messages asking if the explosion, people were feeling and hearing around the county was something else. They said that they put enough explosive in it for it to reach a distance of 15 miles away.
What?
All right, that one didn't work.
15 miles away. Boop, thud.
That one didn't work.
There you go.
That's the one I was looking
That's
for.
That's a 15-mile explosion.
Yeah. There you go.
That was perfect timing. 15 miles away.
Just a little tiny. Little tiny.
Oh, man. But, yeah, 15 miles. That's quite a distance.
Yes.
To feel an explosion. How do they have that much explosives?
It's Texas.
There you go. I should have known better.
Kimberly was deciding on various ways on how she was going to dispose of the dress. She said that at first she thought she was going to destroy it in a fire.
I feel like you would have done a better job in a fire. I feel like an explosion, because once it blows up, like, pieces of it are still around. So you still have the tattered remains of your relationship strewn about the yard that you have to clean up. But if you burn it, it all goes away. Right?
That's when Kimberly's dad and brother-in-law came up with the idea of burning the dress with explosives.
You don't burn it with explosives. You blow it up with explosives.
She says in the news report, quote, "I had a lot of advice and suggestions. Someone said I should donate it, but to me,
wow.
I felt like the dress represented a lie. I wanted to have it destroyed."
Oh my God!
Wow!
This woman.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna donate this.
Of all the suggestions she got, donate it, burn it, but she went all the way to explode.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form.
Yeah,
that's crazy. So many better options there. She's like, no, blow it up.
Oh, by the way, here you go. Here's something specific for you. They rigged the dress with 20 pounds of tannerite.
I don't know what tannerite is, but 20 pounds of it sounds like a lot.
Yes, it's an explosive component used for firearms training.
Oh, God, if I look this up, I'm going on a list, aren't I?
I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yeah, maybe. They said that they had a friend who was a bomb technician. That's good.
Of course you did.
That's good. Hey, Mike, can you call up your friend who's a bomb technician? I want to blow some stuff up.
Of course, yeah. I guess people in Texas keep different company than people in suburban Philadelphia area.
I just happen to have a friend who's a bomb technician. That's great.
Only in Texas.
Yeah. I have them on speed dial. I'm just going to...
They must play like 6 degrees from bomb technician, you know? Like everybody's 6 degrees of separation away from a bomb tech.
Oh, and to really make this even more Texas.
Okay.
So this...
They were all wearing 10-gallon hats.
Now, tannerite, I said it's used for firearms training.
Right.
So you actually have to shoot it to make it explode.
Oh.
So Kimberly actually got out her gun.
Of course.
Sure, why not? Aimed and hit the tannerite on her first shot. Bam.
Of course.
Deadeye.
There you go.
She says that it was very liberating. It was closure for myself. So there you go.
I feel like it's an imperfect solution, though. You blow it up, you have a mess to clean up. And parts of the dress are probably going to be strewn everywhere, right?
I don't know. Not after 20 pounds of tannerite.
Yeah, but it won't vaporize it. It'll vaporize it?
20 pounds is a pretty hefty amount, Mike.
Yeah, I guess. I watched a lot of Mythbusters, though. And there's usually scraps left over.
All right, Mike. Order 20 pounds of tannerite and let's blow some
fine,
something up.
Fine, to Amazon we go.
I mean, come on.
I would definitely be on a list if I did that.
What? Tannerite, grenades.
The grenade was diffused. That's normal. Every American does that.
That specific porn of the mayor or whatever. Remember that? We had that story a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, what was that? She did weird stuff.
Yeah, she sold her panties or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what there you go.
Remember that one time that Nena was on and we talked about the Yeah, it was like the diaper website.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, the guy who had the diaper fetish. So you have that on your history too?
Why?
You're already on all the websites.
Technically, no, because those are all incognito searches.
Yeah, you think it's that safe, but it's not that safe.
Wow.
All right. Anyway,
that's ominous. You think it's safe, but it's really not. They know everything.
And they still know everything. How about we get more local? How about we go to Pennsylvania?
Uh-oh. All right. Where in Pennsylvania?
A suburb outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, so all the way over there with those people.
Yeah.
With those people.
Right.
Those Pittsburghs.
A Pennsylvania man was all smiles yesterday, even though he allegedly threatened to shoot up a polling place after he told that he did not register to vote.
Wow.
Now you fucked up! You have fucked up now!
And that man's name was Alex Jones.
Yeah. Police charged that 48-year-old Christopher Queen sought to cast a ballot on Tuesday morning, but a check of voter rolls by election workers revealed that Queen was not properly registered. Upon learning that he would not be able to vote, Queen became angry, but then suddenly smiled, said that he was going to conveniently go get his gun, shoot up the polling place, and then said, "Have a nice day."
Yikes!
Yes. Yeah, psycho.
Oh my god!
Psycho much there?
That's a yes.
If you are that obsessed with being able to vote, you probably should have paid more attention to voter registration deadlines.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Queen then left the polling place, but he was soon apprehended by police.
Well, yeah, he just threatened to shoot it up.
Yep. Since it was a voting polling place, that escalated his charge from disorderly conduct to making terrorist threats, which is a felony. So he's been booked on a $10,000 bail.
Ooh.
So I don't know how happy he is after that.
Definitely not smiling anymore.
Yeah, that's a very expensive smile.
What a psycho.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get my gun and shoot up the place.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. I'll see you later. Yeah. And they're like, what?
I'll be right back.
Oh, God. That's...
That's a yes.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, what would that accomplish? You're mad. Because you don't get to vote, so you shoot up everybody, and then what? You cast your ballot and leave?
Yeah, when everybody's disposed of.
What's the end game? Just to cast your vote? Just come back in a few years when, you know, hopefully you filled out the right paperwork and everything. It's not everybody else's fault that you're not up to date on everything, you know? If you were that concerned about it, you should have been paying attention.
Yep. And stop smiling.
I mean, that's the big takeaway.
Yeah.
Don't smile, especially after you threaten everybody.
Yeah.
That's really
psychotic. Who are you, the Joker?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like really psychotic.
Yeah.
The thought of killing all these people, he's just like, oh, puts a smile on my face.
Yep. Please, everyone, arrest that man. I don't care if he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
That's just one of those you automatically go to jail.
It did. In that case, it did.
Not even a trial. No, just go to jail.
All he did was say something, and they arrested him.
Well, yeah.
He didn't actually get his gun, did he?
No, police arrested him right after he left the polling place.
Well, that's what I mean. That's an example of, you know, he said something crazy, and they're just like, all right, we're just going to arrest him.
Yeah,
because
you can't mess with that.
Crazy. No, you can't.
So, immediately go to jail. Do not collect $200.
Yeah.
Next story, going to Wyoming.
Okay. Good old Wyoming, one of the square states.
That's correct.
There's squares out there.
This story we're dealing with a different square. It's more of a rectangle, but you'll see. A Wyoming man.
All right, geometry lesson.
A Wyoming man is facing a domestic battery charge after he allegedly was allegedly caught striking his girlfriend with scalding Hot Pocket sandwiches.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Yes!
Yes, the return of the Hot Pocket clip.
We brought it back from the dead.
Oh my God.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
That was back when I cared about saying stupid things. And look at me
sure,
now.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Ta-da!
Oh my god.
It's back, Mike!
What a blast from the past.
Sure, I'm gonna bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
You know, that basically scarred me because I haven't had a Hot Pocket since, Rich.
Oh.
Don't you feel bad now?
Yeah.
You made a clip out of it and I could never have a Hot Pocket
again.
Go
get your Hot Pockets.
I gotta go get my Hot Pockets.
Yeah. Come on, man. don't let that stop you from doing you.
There was a period of time where in college I ate a lot of Hot Pockets. It was easy to make and
did you bring a lot of Hot Pockets in bed with you?
I mean, there's not many places to eat a Hot Pocket in a dorm room.
I guess you could say you had yourself a man-witch.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Responding to a 911 call reporting an assault, cops early Sunday morning spoke with a woman who said her friend had been injured by Hot Pockets thrown by boyfriend Levy Luciero.
You can't get hurt by a Hot Pocket.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
You got to let it cool off first. If you bite straight into the Hot Pocket after taking it out of the microwave, you're going to be in for a world of hurt.
It's called Hot Pocket.
It even says on the package you have to let it sit for 2 minutes.
Yes.
There's a reason, because it's actually stuffed. They say it's pepperoni, but it's actually lava. Not many people know that.
Right.
But they pipe lava directly into the pastry crust.
And it says hot in the title, Hot Pocket.
Yeah, Hot Pocket. It's a pocket full of hotness.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Responding officers noted that the victim, who had to be loaded into an ambulance, burns on her neck and her ear. Wow.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah.
Maybe
I guess
it's more serious than I thought.
This is pretty serious. Yeah, if you actually...
How long did they put the Hot Pocket in the microwave?
I don't know, but I guess if you throw it immediately after, I guess it's pretty
You know what it is? It's the gooey cheese filling. Like, have you ever eaten, like, really hot, like, pizza or something, and the cheese gets, like stuck somewhere, you know? No? Do you know what I'm saying?
I think I do. Like, it kind of gets stuck?
Like you eat a Hot Pocket or a piece of pizza or something, and the cheese, the stringy cheese, like whips down and, like, hits you somewhere. It's like, oh, it's really hot, and it's, like, burning, and it's stuck there. Like, what happens if it got stuck somewhere?
Yeah. Well, apparently...
And that's what caused the burn.
Apparently, the burn happened on her neck and her ear.
Oh, man. Maybe he took the Hot Pocket and squeezed the contents out... Like he splooged.
Just like a clap. Just bam.
Yeah, bam. Splooged the Hot Pocket stuff all over her.
There you go. Hot Pocket can also be a weapon if you need it to be used in a desperate situation.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
I'm packing heat.
Yeah.
Hot Pockets.
You can take that however way you want to, ladies.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
All I can say is that they're Italian meat flavored.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
You can get sausage.
Yeah.
And pepperoni.
With Mike Costanzo, you can get sausage.
You can. You got some spicy Italian sausage.
Yeah.
it's hot.
Call Mike for further details.
Oh my God.
Tweet at Mike Costanzo if you're interested.
Hashtag Hot Pockets.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
The woman told cops that she gave Luciero a Hot Pocket that was heated up. As he consumed the Hot Pocket, the couple quarreled. The victim alleged that Luciero struck her with the Hot Pockets after first throwing another Hot Pocket, his cell phone, and then the Hot Pocket he was eating.
So he wasted two Hot Pockets.
Two Hot Pockets and his cell phone.
Come on, man. That's just silly.
Asked about the confrontation, Luciero claimed that he threw the Hot Pockets after his girlfriend tried to punch him in the nose while he was eating.
Ooh.
But apparently no damage was done to his nose, so unfortunately Luciero is the definite bad guy here.
Yeah, really? He got away scot-free?
Yeah, well, no, they arrested him. No.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, but he didn't get burned or punched.
No, yeah.
Assume everybody in the odd news is going to be arrested.
Yes.
That's a given. That's not always.
Sometimes we have stories where they get away.
True.
But no, this
I'm
one.
I'm saying, in the grand scheme of things.
This one, he definitely is arrested because how dare you waste two Hot Pockets like this?
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
That's the real crime.
Yeah.
Is not, I mean, the assault, I mean, yeah, lots of people get assaulted. That's fine. But wasting Hot Pockets? I could have eaten those Hot Pockets, Rich.
Yes, we will not stand for this insubordination.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
They have to bring him before the grand Hot Pocket jury and try him for crimes against Hot Pockets.
Yes. 50 years in jail.
Well deserved.
And you have to eat cold pockets.
Oh, there's nothing worse than a cold pocket. Cold pocket? I want Hot Pockets
cold
to make
pocket.
That. Cold
pocket.
Yeah.
Like all the Hot Pockets. All the hot ones are so happy. Hot pocket. Cold pocket.
Yeah.
Go away.
Do you want to eat something depressing?
Cold pocket. Yes, it's so depressing.
It's like, wow, what's in it? Last night's dinner.
Cold pocket. I hate my life.
Do you lack a microwave but still want to have Hot Pockets?
Cold pocket.
What would be a good cold pocket filling? Since we're on the subject of cold pockets.
Leftover mashed potatoes.
It's just a bread crust with mashed potatoes in it.
Leftover mashed potatoes.
That's so redundant.
Cold pocket.
Oh, my God.
My family left me during Thanksgiving dinner. Oh,
cold pocket.
Cold pocket.
Oh, that's awful.
My dad died in a ditch. Cold pocket.
It's the perfect meal for being super depressed. So, cold pockets. Apparently, okay, so here's the thing.
I hate children. Cold pockets.
Wow. So now you're just eating it to what? Numb yourself against
right.
children?
Yes.
I don't know how that works.
Yes. So.
So I'm looking up cold pockets. Apparently it's a thing. It's a meme online. It's not a real thing.
Okay, yeah.
But like knowyourmeme.com. Has,
cold pocket.
Cold pockets.
All right. Well.
Made with premium cold.
They are made with the strongest cold from Antarctica.
Oh, God. That's amazing.
Wallow in your sorrows with our ice cold snacking treat.
Oh, that is disgusting. I'm looking. So they have a whole bunch of different made up Hot Pockets things. And one is, oh, my God. That's funny. Pumpkin spice Hot Pockets. I can't say the other stuff that's on that carton. They have nails. They have sand.
There you go. Sand.
Oh, my God. What is this?
I hate sand.
Steamed hams Hot Pockets. That's great. Anyway, so there's lots of variety there for you guys.
There you go.
To choose from. Cold pockets.
I just lost my arm in a battle with a Sith. Cold pocket.
So cold. So basically, as soon as something bad happens, you get a cold pocket.
Right. You automatically get a cold pocket.
It's like mandatory.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, sorry to deliver this bad news to you, but here, take a bite of this cold pocket first.
Yep. It'll help out.
Yeah. I have to foreclose on your house. Have a cold pocket.
Cold pocket.
Cold pocket. Oh, man.
I'm sorry to inform you, Mrs. Shields, you have cancer. Cold pocket.
Oh. That's bad. Oh, but yeah.
My dog died.
Cold pocket. I really want Hot Pocket to come up with like a cold version.
Yeah.
I really want them to make it a thing.
But it's the complete opposite.
Yeah. Instead of being all excitable and happy, it's all depressed and somber and... I think they would have a really big hit on their hands. And they're much easier to make than Hot Pockets. You just eat them. They're cold pockets.
Right.
You don't got to cook them.
Right.
And they won't burn people.
Right, they won't.
And it won't start family feuds and fights. And yeah, I feel like it's just...
I think they should look into it.
I think it's a win-win-win. So get on it, Hot Pockets.
Cold pocket.
Make cold pockets.
All right, how about we get to some Florida stories?
Sure.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, I got two Florida stories to end this on.
Okay.
A Florida man who identified himself to police as multiple obscene names was arrested on an obstruction charge for providing cops with phony names, according to a court filing. On Tuesday, a sheriff's deputy asked a man to leave a park in Palm Harbor, which is a suburb outside of St. Petersburg. In the arrest affidavit, the cop noted that John Chestnut Park, which closes at 6 p.m., had this park goer that would not leave the park. Asked to identify himself, the defendant responded by stating that his name was Bend Over.
I like it. Funny.
The man then gave the cop the middle finger and got in the deputy's face as if he was going to try and hit him.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah, don't you mess with Bend Over.
Yeah, don't mess with him. So he was getting so angry just because they asked him to leave the park?
Yeah.
Jeez. Overreaction.
Then he turned around and said his name was Phil McCracken.
Well, at least he's creative.
Yeah, he's got a couple.
He's worked on these. Like, he's, you know, up late at night going, oh, man, if somebody ever is trying to arrest me and they ask me for my name, what will I say?
Then when a backup officer appeared, he told the backup officer that his name was Heywood Jablomi.
These are getting increasingly elaborate.
Heywood
Jablomi. Oh, my God.
Heywood. Very, very important. And I can legally say all these. So this is great. These are names.
These are real names. Real people.
Then the man tried to run away and flee on foot, but he was apprehended after a short chase. While in handcuffs, he then claimed his name was Dick Gozinia.
Gozinia.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he really spent time working on these.
Yeah.
He's got a whole notebook of them, Rich. I hope you realize that, right?
When he was placed in jail, that's when they did a handprint identification on him, and they found out he was 22-year-old Andrew Layton.
Oh,
so,
that's
sorry.
Boring.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's kind of a boring name. Sorry.
Dick Gozinia.
Andrew Layton was charged with two misdemeanors, obstruction by a disguised person.
Oh, wow.
Apparently that's a separate charge.
They got a charge for everything.
And resisting an officer with a phony name.
So it's a double whammy for the same thing.
Yeah. He was released from the county jail, posting a $300 bond, so he's out.
Well, at least it wasn't that bad.
So, long live the legend of Bend Over, Phil McCracken, where was the other one? Oh, Heywood Jablomi, and Dick Gozinia.
I think Dick Gozinia is my favorite one.
Yeah, Mr. Gozinia.
Mr. Gozinia.
That does kind of sound like an elaborate last name.
Mr. Dick Gozinia.
Yeah, there you go.
Mr. Dick.
There you go.
Mr. Dick Gozinia. I like it.
There you go.
Oh, my God. That's just, yeah. All this because he wouldn't leave the park. Like, it's so stupid.
You're probably right. He probably has a notebook of all these names.
He was waiting for this moment. He went to that park and stayed there after hours so he could be arrested and give these names out.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
All right, and I got one last story for you, also a Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. Do you like Red Lobster?
Yeah. I like Red Lobster.
Yeah.
People are down on it. Like, oh, it's not good seafood. It's like, shut up. We're a landlocked state. What do you want?
Yeah, like, we're not Baltimore.
It's like, come on, man. It's like, where am I going to get real seafood in friggin' Ambler?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we're not.
Red Lobster is just fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. Go ahead. That mini rant over.
Intoxicated Florida woman plucked a live lobster from a tank at a Red Lobster and ran in a Red Lobster St. Petersburg restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah, just pretty much picked it up and ran out of there.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
It would have been so much easier to have dined and dashed than stealing a live lobster. She takes the lobster. And I'm assuming the rest of her plan was toss it in the car, drive home, and cook it?
Oh, now you fucked up! You have fucked up now.
So she just, what? She was just going to put in the passenger seat? Be like, stay there, Lopsy. Don't move.
42-year-old Kimberly Gable was drunk and causing a scene Saturday night at the Red Lobster Eatery. That caused a manager to prompt her to leave. Gable was cursing as she headed to the front door. Before departing, that's when Gable made a dash towards a water tank, grabbed a live lobster, and ran out of the restaurant.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
Okay, so this wasn't necessarily to eat the lobster, just it was an act of revenge.
Yes, okay. But I'm sure she was hungry, too.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, lobster is tasty.
Responding to a 911 call about the lobster heist, a sheriff's deputy then located Gable, who smelled of booze and was slurring her words to the cop. Continuing the curse, Gable then denied she had any knowledge of the lobster's whereabouts, saying to the cop, quote, I hope the lobster is up your ass.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form.
Oh, yeah. Take that.
She's not as creative as the last person.
No, but I hope the lobster's up your ass.
She's probably holding the lobster in her hand as she's saying this.
Gable explained that since she was blacked out drunk, she did not care, and therefore she does not believe she did anything wrong. Yep.
Because she was drunk,
yep.
She did nothing wrong.
Right, yep.
That makes sense.
It's not my fault I was blacked out drunk.
Right. Somebody forced the alcohol down my throat.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Right.
I'm a responsible drinker.
Yeah. I would never do anything crazy like that.
Busted for disorderly intoxication, Gable was booked into the county jail on a misdemeanor count. She was released on a $100 bond.
Wow.
So that's all
she got.
Not
bad.
Yeah.
Still more expensive than just buying a lobster dinner at Red Lobster.
Yeah. If you really want a lobster that bad, yeah, you're better off.
But I don't think she was hungry. That. I think she just did it out of revenge.
I think so, too.
She's like, oh, I'm pissed because you're asking me to leave. I'm going to take your lobster.
Yeah. Take that.
What was... but, like...
And I will adopt it as my new pet.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. If she gets away with it, you're screwed because you have a live lobster now. What are you doing with this live lobster? Are you going to cook it? You don't know how to cook a lobster.
You don't have a home.
You don't have a tank for it. You can't cook it.
You just ate cold pockets.
Yeah. Get caught stealing a lobster? Cold pockets.
Cold pocket.
I was too upbeat with mine.
Yeah, you're cold. Too upbeat.
Sorry, I got to remember. I got to be down and somber when you're doing cold pockets. Cold pockets. A lobster is like a cold pocket.
Yeah, it kind of.
Like the shell is the pocket that contains the meat. And, well, I mean, when it's in the water, it's cold. But after you cook it, it's warm.
But then you could have it cold again if you wanted to.
You could have it cold again.
Right.
So it becomes a cold pocket.
And then it becomes cold pocket.
Whoa. It's a transformative pocket.
Whoa.
It's a hot pocket. No, it's a cold pocket, then a hot pocket, then a cold pocket again. Oh, my God. It's the full life cycle of the hot pocket.
It's the circle
of hot pockets.
Pockets.
Such a beautiful thing.
What? Yeah. Why hasn't Disney made a movie about that?
Yeah, I can just see it now. You know, Mufasa Pocket is standing up there with Simba Pocket, and he goes, Simba, all these... This is so dumb. All these hot pockets belong to you. Everything the microwave light touches is your domain. What about the back corner? We don't go to the back corner.
It's no,
part of the Lion King, Rich.
That's where the cold pockets are.
That's where the cold pockets are. I'm not afraid of cold pockets.
You will be.
Oh, I just can't wait to be Hot Pockets.
Make sure you buy them at your local grocery store.
Hakuna Hot Pocket. Such a wonderful food. Hakuna Hot Pocket. Ain't no taste of your food.
There you go.
I don't know what else to sing. Damn. I had it going there. But yeah, I feel like Disney's missing out here.
Yep, I think so too.
They have a hit on their hands. The Circle of Hot Pockets.
The Circle of Pockets.
What's the title? The Lion King? Hot Pocket King? Pocket King.
Pocket King.
There you go.
Well, we'll work on the details.
Yeah, we'll hammer it out. I like how that story had nothing to do with Hot Pockets, but we were so obsessed with the Hot Pocket, Cold Pocket story, we went back to it.
Yes. But when we're doing stuff like that, I think that means it's time we got to start wrapping up this episode up. But before we officially do it, it's time to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that Disney has an exciting film coming out in 2020. It's The Hot Pocket King. It's the hotly anticipated sequel to The Lion King. Instead,
but watch out, the cold pockets will attack.
Oh, it is a struggle between light and dark, good and evil.
Hot and cold.
Hot and cold, yes. Opposites. Ah, such conflict, such turmoil. You gotta see it in theaters. That's The Hot Pocket King from Disney in theaters, 2020. Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, we still have to pitch that, though. So we better get on that.
Yeah.
Write up a spec script.
Yep.
We'll get on it, though. But we've learned that Hot Pockets are life. I mean, look.
They're pretty good.
Look at how amazing all the comedy gold we got from it. A new movie. A new brand, Cold Pockets.
Yeah.
I mean, so many gifts from Hot Pockets.
Right. And if you're having a bad day, you get a Cold Pocket.
Yeah. Cold Pocket. That's what we learned, that cold pockets should be a thing.
Yeah.
And it's only for depressing moments.
Right, yeah.
And it's all like bland food inside a blander food. Like, what'd you say? Leftover mashed potatoes?
Right.
In a bread crust? I don't know, man. Do you get gravy in it, or is it just plain mashed potatoes?
Yeah, it's plain. You're having a bad day.
Just plain, cold, lumpy mashed potatoes.
Yep.
In a bread crust. Fantastic. Cold pockets. There you go. And finally, we learned you can achieve anything with a big dong.
That is true. There you go.
This is wildly incongruent with the rest of those What Have We Learned items, but there you go. Big dongs rule supreme.
Big dong and Hot Pockets.
Big dongs and Hot Pockets, like peanut butter and jelly, man.
There you go. That's what we've learned this episode of the Chris Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man, there you go. Another crazy episode of the Chris Noodle Podcast in the books. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our show. If you like what you heard, make sure to go check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, @TheCrispyNoodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show shrunk down into a quick 2 to 3 minute promo clip that you can easily share with friends and family and strangers and people at Red Lobster. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Crispy Noodle Podcast is like a hot pocket. You just want to share it with everyone and take it to bed and just do a whole bunch of crazy stuff with it.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Right. Mike's going to do it.
Yeah. Whoa. Maybe. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter and send me all of your crazy hot pocket stories, tweet at us. I'm @MikeyCostanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am @RichLiebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. I'm also on Instagram @the same handle. Let us know what's happening. And also follow us on Twitter, because you get our real-time reactions to any sort of stories that are breaking at the time. Or if you want to send us a cool link, something that we might talk about on the podcast, yes,
yeah.
Shoot it our way and tag us in the post.
And weigh in this week on Detective Pikachu or Toy Story 4.
Yeah, because that's legitimately causing some buzz. I think Detective Pikachu wins that one, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But for right now, we're going to have to wrap this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Yep, I think that's going to wrap this episode up. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next week for another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.